For most of the time that I was at school, I was the smallest kid in my class. I was short and skinny and somewhat uncoordinated. And as a result, I seemed to always get picked last by my peers whenever they were picking teammates for a game. I also ended up at an all-boys high school where sporting ability was celebrated as the key criteria for getting noticed. I realized precisely how important this was when I went to collect my GCSE results and the headmaster asked me my name. This was the fifth year of me being at that school, and he had no idea who I was. I may as well have been invisible. In hindsight, it's probably a good thing that I didn't realize at the time quite how unnoticed I was, because had I known as a young teenager that I possessed the ability to simply blend into a crowd, I'm pretty sure I would have worked out that I could get away with breaking the rules a whole bunch more than I actually did. Maybe some of you watching can relate to being the gray man, having spent much of your life in the shadow of others. Maybe you long for someone to notice you for a change, to recognize your contribution, or just to simply see you and acknowledge that you're there. Or maybe social rejection has left you feeling insecure, that there's something wrong with you that makes you unlovable or an irritation to others. Maybe it's worse than that. Maybe you've grown so accustomed to never being noticed that you've used people's indifference towards you to your own advantage, working under the radar to get away with illegal or unethical practices. Maybe now the weight of your guilt leaves you fearful of ever being seen for who you really are. Maybe you're watching this morning and the question in your mind is, does God really see me? Maybe you find it hard to believe that he's even remotely interested in your life and you're convinced his gaze must be somewhere else. Maybe social rejection has left you feeling lost and alone and you'd love God to let you know that he sees you and that you matter to him. Or perhaps you're living an immoral life, currently banking on the idea that God doesn't see you. Perhaps having come to that conclusion because you've already got away with doing a bunch of evil things, so God can't possibly be watching. Or perhaps you live in fear that one day he will reveal himself to you and your guilt might be exposed. Maybe you're in the worst position of all, where society has rejected you and God feels like a stranger too. You feel lost and alone and in need of salvation from the empty world of rejection, unworthiness, guilt, and fear. You know, if any of this resonates with you, then stay tuned, because there is hope, and I want to show you where you can find it. It's found in an extraordinary encounter between Jesus and a man up a tree. Try to picture the scene with me. Imagine you're in Jericho while Jesus is passing through on his way to Jerusalem. Jericho is a city in the Jordan Valley with a very significant history behind it. It was the first city conquered by the Hebrew people when they entered Canaan, and they began to take possession of the land that they believed God had promised to them through Abraham and Moses. And during this conquest, something extraordinary happened. A prostitute called Rahab recognized that God's judgment was coming on her and every inhabitant of the city, and she was afraid of God. So she made a life-altering decision to hide some Hebrew spies from the sentries that were looking for them. She lived high up in the city walls, and she used a rope to lower the spies to safety in the hope that God would see her faith and its resultant actions and show her mercy. And that's exactly what happened. When judgment came for the people of Jericho, the other inhabitants of the city were killed, but Rahab the prostitute and her family were all saved and adopted into the Hebrew community. Now fast forward with me a few hundred years to when Jesus was passing through, and we meet another social outcast in this city called Jericho. His name is Zacchaeus, and he's a chief tax collector, a Jewish man working for the Roman Empire who had conquered not just the city, but the whole nation of Israel. And he'd been exploiting his own people to line his own pockets. And his dishonest work had made him rich and powerful, but also hated by all of the people. So like Rahab before him, he was a collaborator with the enemy, a social outcast, and an obviously sinful person. And he carried rejection and guilt around with him wherever he went. In fact, he carried them with him up a tree. You see, even as an adult, Zacchaeus was short. He was really short, like I was when I was a teenager. It was easy to miss him in a crowd, but even more frustrating for Zacchaeus that day was the fact that it was impossible for him to get a look at Jesus, this celebrity preacher who'd been causing such a stir in the region. So he climbed a tree to get a better view of the man. And that is when his extraordinary encounter happened with Jesus. Luke, one of Jesus' early disciples, recorded the life and the history of Jesus. And this is what he said happened. He says, when Jesus reached the spot, he looked up to him and said, Zacchaeus, come down immediately. I need to stay at your house today. Can you imagine what that must have been like? There are literally hundreds of people crowding around Jesus, and yet it's Zacchaeus that Jesus sees. Not only that, but despite the fact that they had never met, Jesus knew his name. Zacchaeus must have been confounded. He must have known straight away that Jesus was no ordinary rabbi. Then Jesus proved that again by saying he wanted to stay with Zacchaeus, a person who other faith leaders would have avoided like the plague. He was an outcast, a reprobate, and yet Jesus was intent on hanging out at his house, the ultimate sign of acceptance in a culture of the day. Jesus was certainly unorthodox, so much so that the crowd began to mutter about him, saying, he's gone to be the guest of a sinner. You know what's glaringly obvious to me in this single sentence? Is the total lack of self-awareness being displayed in these muttered remarks. You know, every single time Jesus went to be the guest of someone he met, he was going to meet with a sinner. Because every single person on this planet is a sinner. We all do things that we know are wrong. None of us is perfect. And yet some people are so self-righteous that they believe sinner is a term reserved for other people. People like Zacchaeus. And not for them. Maybe you've met a few of those people in your time. People who maybe have treated you like scum because they were religious and you weren't. Maybe you've been to a church where you felt judged from the moment you walked in until the moment you left. And if you've ever had that experience, I would encourage you, do not give up on Christianity. Because Jesus Christ, its founder and its reason for being, was not like that. Jesus shocked people constantly by his compassion for society's outcasts, by his desire to spend time and energy ministering to people who weren't religious, probably because they were never accepted by anyone in the religious crowd. Maybe you're one of those people who looks at the lifestyle of others and labels them as sinners, lost, unsaved, unholy, wretched, deplorable. And if you're convinced that God would have you judge others that way, good luck to you. Do your church a favor and stop calling yourself a Christian, because Christians are followers of Jesus Christ, and Jesus sees past a person's actions and into their hearts. He was able to recognize when someone was humbly seeking God, painfully aware of their many failings, but also hopeful because of God's great mercy. Jesus saw Zacchaeus differently, not as someone wicked who needed to be avoided, but as someone who had lost their way and needed his help to come back to God. And it's obvious that Jesus is a better judge of character than the crowd, because just moments after he calls Zacchaeus down from the tree, the tax collector immediately blurts out his intention to change his whole life, saying, look, Lord, here and now I give half of my possessions to the poor, and if I have cheated anybody out of anything, I will pay back four times the amount. See, all Zacchaeus needed was for someone to see him for who he really was and still welcome him, despite his many flaws. But it seems that's not something that comes naturally to many of us. We tend to judge people at face value, but God looks at the heart. And that's exactly what Jesus did with Zacchaeus. Of course it is, because that's what Jesus always did. That's the very reason Jesus came in the first place, to seek and to save the lost. The prodigals, desperate to return home, but fearful of the reception they might get if they tried. Jesus came to save sinners who admit that they are sinners, but that they believe that God can make them more than they've been able to make of themselves. And this salvation from sin and from being separated from God is an act of mercy and forgiveness on Jesus' part, not something we have to earn or ever deserve. Salvation comes to those who believe in Jesus, the only one who truly sees us for who we are and yet welcomes us into his presence regardless. It's a result of faith in the goodness of God, not in our own efforts to be pious or religious. It's a gift, an olive branch, an act of unconditional love, and it's available to every lost person in the world, if only we have the faith to believe that Jesus has found us and trust him to lead us back to a life as a child of God. Here's the point of all of this. I can't see you this morning, but God can. I can't tell anything about you by looking down this camera, but I can tell you that Jesus already knows your name. even if I could see you right in front of me right now, I wouldn't get the whole picture about what I was looking at. Even if I saw what you were wearing or learned about your past mistakes or your present lifestyle choices, that wouldn't give me a full picture of who you are. But Jesus sees all of you. Every hidden desire, every burden you carry, every disappointment with yourself or others, and every action and choice that you regret. He sees your loneliness, your fears, your anger, your deception, and your sin. And still he says, I see you. Come here and let's hang out together. Let's talk about it all in the comfort of your own home. I'll come to you if you're willing to follow me to where God wants you to be. Let Jesus show you the way back to God, reveal to you the truth about God's love and justice, and give you the kind of life that the children of God enjoy in his presence. Children who once were lost, but now he has found. If you hear this message today, you can say yes to this invitation right now by placing your trust in Jesus. You can pray in your heart and he will hear you just as if you were in the room. And you can ask him to forgive you for your sins and bring you into a restored relationship with God, because that's exactly what he wants to do. If you'd like someone to pray with you, simply sign into the chat and let us know how we can support you right now. We would love to pray for you. We would love to get in contact and be able to talk through this incredible decision that you make today. But hey, maybe you're one of the other guys in the story. Maybe you've been self-righteous and you've judged other people rather than welcoming them to explore Jesus with you. Today's the day for you to admit that to Jesus, to ask for his forgiveness, and then to contact the people you've been judgmental towards and ask them to forgive you too. I don't know exactly where you feel you are on your journey of faith, but God does. And today he offers you another opportunity to take a next step towards Jesus, whatever that looks like in your circumstances. So let me pray for you as you decide how to respond to Jesus' personal invitation to you. Heavenly Father, forgive us for our sins. Forgive us when we are judgmental towards other people as if we ourselves had everything correct and right. I know in my own heart, Lord, how much sin there is, how much pride there is, how much I sometimes do things for me rather than for others. I don't look like this model that Jesus modeled for us, but I believe in Jesus and I believe he can transform my life. And I want to ask for every person who's hearing this message, maybe for the first time, that you are reaching out to them and saying, come and admit that you need me and I will save you. I'm still here. I still see you. I still want a relationship with you. Father, for every person who cries out to you today, would you come into their life in such a rich and meaningful way? For every person who confesses their sins to you today, would you give them a sense of your overwhelming forgiveness and your incredible love for them shown in Jesus Christ? And Father, may we, your church, be a place that anybody can come and explore Jesus, a place where you don't have to have a perfect life or a perfect look about you, but a place where everyone is welcome because no one is perfect and everything is possible to God. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.